20 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here. I have David Wheaton on the studio line. David, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. Let's build up the body of Christ this morning and make our mothers proud.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
You know, Christians really cannot afford to be confused about the doctrine of sanctification.
No, I think it's something that's really under-discussed in the evangelical church today. Unfortunately, because if you look back over church history, especially, let's say, in the time of the Puritans in earlier American history, I mean, this was sanctification was something that was discussed all the time. It is the pursuit after one has been justified. There's those three tenses of what we call salvation. There's justification. That's the one time for all declaration by God that you are forgiven and righteous. In other words, you're saved from the penalty of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So once that takes place, you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, what he did. The second process that takes place the rest of our life is the process of sanctification, where you're being saved, not saved, but being saved from the power of sin. And the final stage is that glorification after you die as a believer, you're saved from the presence of sin forever. But that second stage, sanctification, I think is something that's way under discussed. And I think sanctification is sometimes confused as, well, it's just doing good things. It's reading the Bible or praying or helping the least of these or evangelizing or discipling someone or going to church. I think those are the fruit of it, but that's not how we are sanctified. Sanctification comes from an intimate walk with God daily. It comes from the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And I think the key verse to think about, or there's a couple of them, but I'll just give one. To think about with regards to sanctification comes from Philippians 2, where Paul writes, "So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And then the next sentence says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." In other words, once you're saved, work it out. Well, what's that mean? Are we supposed to do it ourselves? Or this last sentence, "For it is God who is at work in you." Well, it's really both. It's the same tension of justification. You know, are we the ones that save ourselves? Well, no, but God is the one who calls us and opens our eyes and leads us to salvation, but we must repent and believe in the gospel. It's the same thing with sanctification as well. It is the Spirit's work in our life, but we also must cooperate with that and surrender to the Word and the Spirit's promptings in our life as well. That's how we're sanctified or set apart or made holy.
Mm-hmm. Explained well, David. So let's talk about when a person is outside of the body of Christ, he is unregenerated, and mm-hmm. he has a ignorance that he lived in as to what spiritual truths were, and you live in a sinful nature. So now you've come to the place where you've become born again, and through the mm-hmm. regeneration of the Holy Spirit, you still at some point have past memories of an old life. And is this part of the sanctification process you're talking about? How you have to move away from that into more holiness and more obedience?
Absolutely. If you look at, I think the really key chapters on sanctification are, if listeners want to read about it, Romans 6, 7, and 8. This is really, again, I personally don't hear these three. These are such key chapters because once you're saved, as you mentioned, born again, regenerated, this is what the Christian life is about. It's about sanctification, growing in holiness, becoming more like Christ. Romans 8:28, that's the goal of the Christian life, is to become more like him. Now, we're not going to be able to, of course, be exactly like him. He was perfect and sinless, but that's the goal. And you see in Romans 6 through 8 where Paul writes about the fact that, you know, we're dead to sin now that we're to consider ourselves dead to sin once we're saved. We identify with Christ in his death to sin and his victorious resurrection over sin. There's identification with Christ. But then in Romans 7, we see Paul struggling, you know, saying there's something still in me that wants not to do what God wants to do. And it's frustrating. I'm carrying this body of death with me. In other words, we don't have two natures as a believer. We only have one new nature. God creates in us a new nature, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But we still have this unredeemed flesh in us. And as you mentioned, that has memories and has wants and desires that aren't consistent with what God wants for us. But God gives us the power the power, the actual strength, the power, the grace to be able to overcome this sinfulness. We can't become perfect, but we have the ability to choose to be, to overcome the sinful tendencies that are still in us. And that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Holy Spirit is so key in our lives. And evangelicals, we often think of charismatics often talking about the Holy Spirit. Evangelicals need to talk more about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. He's equal with God,
right.
Equally important to God in our lives every single day. We need the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to submit to his power to be able to overcome the temptations we face.
David, we're going to take a break in about a minute, but are Christians asking each other this question nowadays? How are you growing in holiness?
I don't think so. I don't have too many people asking me that question. I think it's a good question, because the Bible says that we should examine ourselves not only to see whether we're in the faith, we need to examine are we making progress?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a 45-degree upward line like on a graph. There's going to be the ups and downs of life. You read about that in the Psalms of David. But there should be the believer may fall down, but he repents and he gets back up and he continues on the narrow way in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this sanctification comes from meeting with God daily in his word, hearing the word preached from sound preachers, being with other believers who are going to foster this sanctification in our lives as well. And it's also staying away from things that will hinder sanctification, worldliness, sin, temptation, staying away from that. So there's things we cling to and there's things we stay away from.
Mm-hmm. David, you are encouraging listeners already. I just know that for a fact. And listeners, isn't it wonderful how David is helping us journey through this process and giving us these words of encouragement? We are going to take a break, and when we come back, lots more with David Wheaton, and back in just a minute.
Several years ago, the state was rebuilding an overpass near my house. 3 lanes reduced to 1, transforming a morning commute into a daily stew. The project, like human history, had been in development since before time began. My next-door neighbors were highway engineers, consultants to the Department of Transportation. It'll take time, they responded to my grumbles, but it will all get finished. They had seen the plans. In the Old Testament story of Joseph, God allows us to study his plans. Brothers dumping brother. But watch the master builder at work. He cleared debris, stabilized the structure, and the chaos of Genesis 37:24, they cast him into the pit, became the triumph of Genesis 50:20, life for many people. God redeemed the story of Joseph. Can't he redeem your story as well? This is Max Lucado.
Hi, I'm Bob Lapine from Truth for Life with Alistair Begg. We're thankful for our friends at Faith Radio because they, too, are committed to bringing you biblically sound teaching and insight right from God's Word. The team at Faith Radio is committed to wholeheartedly pursuing Christ, and they see the value of relevant Bible preaching, connecting faith to everyday life. We share a common vision with Faith Radio. Faith Radio provides the platform for you to hear God's truth day in and day out. If you benefit from the programs you hear on Faith Radio, will you consider giving a gift so that thousands more can find Christ as the anchor for their souls? Make your gift today by calling 1-877-933-2484 or give online at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here talking to my friend David Wheaton. We're talking about sanctification, bigger word than usual, but David did a brilliant job of explaining it. And David, as I'm thinking about it, Satan has a very thin playbook. In it, he lies, and then he does all he can to get people divided. And eventually, if they're divided long enough, they'll just end up hating each other.
Yeah, it's true. It's been the same story since the beginning of time. You know, when you talk about the lie, that is Satan's...
It's a thin playbook. That's all he's got.
All he does. He just has God said in the garden and twist it. So
yes.
There's a little bit of truth in there, But then there's the lie. And the lie is like the drops of poison in the pure drinking water. You know, the water is 95% looks like it's good, but the 3%, 5% poison kills you.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's what he does. And that's in Romans 1. We believed the lie in society today. And it's the lie comes from not believing and adhering and obeying to what God has said. And that's why it's so important to know what God has said in the Word so that we can do what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
And that really explains kind of what's going on in the world, in our culture, even sometimes within our families, when there's conflict and disunity, as you mentioned, it's fundamentally a disobedience. It's a misunderstanding. It's a lack of understanding of what God has said and how we're to live by it. So, yeah, the lie is the root of all the problems we see in life today.
So, David, if we're trying to work out our sanctification, how do we talk about sin? And how do we, if we're trying to pursue holiness, which is something we don't discuss very much in our world and in our culture, how do we encourage and build the body up talking about sin and the pursuit of holiness in a world that is going to put a thumb in our eye as fast as they can?
Well, it's a lie, as you talked about a lie. It's a lie not to talk about sin because the Bible talks about sin all over the place. In other words, it's the recognition of sin that leads us to the point of repentance and faith. In other words, what are we being saved? When we talk about being born again or being saved, you know, salvation has the idea of rescue.
Like, yes.
We're in trouble. And why are we in trouble? Well, we're in trouble because of our sin. Our sin puts us in direct conflict under the judgment of a just God. So it's the sin that leads us to repentance. You must hear the bad news about yourself, then the good news of forgiveness and righteousness through Jesus Christ becomes very, very good news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard Ray Comfort, the great evangelist, say, you know, if you're on an airplane and you offer a guy a parachute, you know, why does he want it if the plane's not crashing? If he doesn't think the plane's going to crash and everything's smooth and flying, it'd be uncomfortable to wear in that seat.
Yeah.
But when he realizes that the flight's in trouble and the plane's going down, he's going to reach for that parachute. And it's the same thing with salvation as well. When we realize just how sinful we are and how that sinfulness puts us under God's judgment, we are going to be, or we should be, reaching for the offer of forgiveness, the rescue that God offers through sending his son to die for our sins on the cross. And by repenting of our sin and putting our faith in him and his work on the cross, not our own works, but his work on the cross, God forgives us and grants us righteousness so we can be right with him.
So, David, if we're working out our salvation, are we living lives that are distinctly different from the world?
Yeah. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, as obedient children, okay, that's what God wants us to be. And often as adults, we don't want to be children, but God sees us as he wants us to be obedient children. Do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. In other words, before you were saved, don't be conformed to that. Get away from that. Don't try to see how close you can come to that. Get away from that. Then it says, but like the Holy One, or God who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's from 1 Peter 1. And so if you look at Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, that's really that's the goal. As we further submit and surrender to the Word in our lives, as we submit to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in us that are consistent with the Word, the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in us. We don't need to kind of work it. It kind of just flows out of us the more we surrender to the Lordship of Christ and his Word.
Mm-hmm. David, when we look at all the mean-spirited rhetoric that's out in the world today and a complete loss of civility, or it seems anyway, in the discourse as we read the news and watch people debate and argue, and we see what goes on social media with people just jabbing at each other, how do we best stand out as Christians that don't engage in that level of discourse, yet show love, show patience, show kindness, and then also still live in the world at the same time?
Well, again, Galatians 5 has that contrast. You know, don't be obedient to the flesh, but cling to the Spirit. In other words, we make so many little decisions every day. you know, life is just a full of one decision after another, big decisions, little decisions. What am I going to have for breakfast this morning? What am I going to clothes I'm going to wear? But also bigger decisions too, that, you know, how am I going to respond to someone who wrote something on my Facebook page that is, I wrote something about my Christian faith and someone, you know, really pushed back hard against me. How am I going to respond to that? Well, in those situations, this is the sanctification process. It's consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so when we think about those things, we need to look at them and look at Scripture and say, how does God want me to respond to this? And but we have to be in the Word on a daily basis. It's like taking a shower or eating. We can't just read the Word once and then 8 days from now expect us to be have our mind, you know, transformed and renewed and be ready to respond to the daily battles we're going to face. We need to be in it every single day. Needs to be the priority of our life is to get together with God and have that intimate personal relationship. That's what being in the Word is. It's about having that intimate relationship, hearing the truth of God in, from His Word, rather than, as you mentioned, Bill, the lies that we hear many, many times throughout the day that sometimes we don't even recognize because they're so subtle.
Mm-hmm. So we always have to get in God's Word. We have to study, and we have to then be always reminding ourselves, because repetition is the key. To actually getting it in your bones and getting it to the point where it comes to the surface and the Holy Spirit brings it right to the top as fast as possible.
Yeah, I think that's why God designed us to have to eat, you know, two or three times a day. You know, why can't we just, you know, eat once a year? And why didn't He design it that day?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a parallel there to being in the Word of God. God designed us not just to read the Word once, but we have short memories. There's a reason the Bible compares us to sheep all the time. You know, sheep don't have very good memories. They need to be led around. They
right.
go easily astray. They're very weak in and of themselves. Matter of fact, we stayed on a sheep farm recently. It was a very incredible kind of life picture seeing that, what sheep behave like. And so sheep need to be led. They need to be led by the shepherd. They need to be in close contact with the shepherd. And the same thing with eating as well. We need to not only eat our meals every day for physical strength, but we need to eat the Word of God so that we can be spiritually strong to be able to face the challenges and battles we're going to face every single day.
David, horses without a rancher are wild horses. Sheep without a shepherd are dead.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's why the Bible has, 400 references to us being sheep. Anyway, David, thanks for chatting. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, a couple of minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Have you had an unforgettable conversation? One that still makes you laugh or just shake your head? When you think about it, prayer is a conversation too, an unforgettable one, with our Creator. Now, the Faith Radio family is having that conversation together, joining our voices and praying for our families, neighbors, and our country, and thanking God for His goodness. You can add your voice today at myfaithradio.com when you look for the prayer team.